Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
It's good to see all of you and welcome to church on Pentecost Sunday. Today is the day when we look back in history, the day the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we like to say, the rest is His story. But that same God that poured the Spirit upon the church is here with us today. And He wants to do some incredible work through all of us. And my prayer is that at the end of this service, we're going to embrace the Holy Spirit and go and become witnesses so the cities and the nations can know there is a God who loves them. Amen. Amen and amen. And I'm so glad to be here today. My name is Eddie, my wife, my hot dark chocolate of 19 years. That's another miracle right there. And she looks amazing and gorgeous today. Okay. And that's why you clap for me. You know, that's because, you know, and you, people say when your wife looks well, they praise the husband. When the husbands look great, they praise the wives. I don't know why. But let's leave it that way. So praise me for today at least. But I think it's all about her. She did the whole work, everything. But greetings from our pastors, our senior pastors, Julius and Vanita Rodlonio. They are in Australia at the moment. Possibly the day has ended. And they're doing ministry, but also connecting with our ministry partners in Australia. Let's keep on praying for them because they're doing such an incredible work. They miss you and they are sending their love and greetings to you. You receive the greetings and love today? So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning, and I pray that may your word change our lives, because your word is alive. Your word is life. And I pray that may the entrance of this word into our hearts today bring conviction so we can become fruitful. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. We don't want just to read you in the pages of the Bible in history. You are here with us today. And you want to empower us to be the church that the world cannot ignore. The church that is making a difference. Like we saw in that story of that neighborhood mother whose life has been transformed. She says discipleship changed her life. That is what Holy Spirit does. You change people's lives. And I pray that in this room, but also online, on air, wherever this message is heard, I pray, Holy Spirit, would you change every hearer today? In Jesus' name, I do pray, and everybody say amen. Amen. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been going through a sermon series called The Spirit Empowered Church. And as you know, you'll be hearing that kind of phraseology until the end of this year, because our theme this year is Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered. And so we want to be a Spirit-empowered church. And we said that a Spirit-empowered church is a church that the world cannot ignore. In other words, this is the kind of church that really stands out, not because it's noisy, but it's because God is doing such a work in them and they are making a difference in their world. Jesus said, when we receive Holy Spirit, we will be empowered to become His witnesses. And so, what makes a church impossible to ignore, especially on this day of Pentecost? I'm not saying not impossible to criticize or to misunderstand, but what makes a church impossible to ignore by the world? You see, I believe that we already have the answer. It's written in the book of Acts, chapter 2. The same God who transformed ordinary men and women in the book of Acts is the same God that we serve today. The same Spirit who empowered them to become witnesses, and they turn their world upside down or right side up, is the same Holy Spirit with us, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. and he is with us. You see, within 2 weeks of Pentecost, the religious establishment in Jerusalem was in a crisis because of what God was doing in his church at that moment. John and Peter, uneducated men, former fishermen, had caused something that the ungodly paid attention to. After healing a man who had been paralyzed for over 4 decades, they began to preach God's word. And people were receiving God's word, and then the religious establishment, who are jealous, they try to stop them. But then they realize that these two guys and their friends were not relenting. What made the difference? Now here we see in Acts 4:13 what the religious establishment, these were not believers, concluded. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled. Can you imagine they were judging them? These guys are, what are their credentials? Unschooled. Ordinary men. In other words, possibly there was no CV behind their name. You know, son of nobody. They were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They tried to find a reason for the courage, the conviction, the passion in them, and they concluded that these guys had been with Jesus. Because being with Jesus actually changes your life. Now, this is not the Holy Spirit, this is smoke, okay? Don't worry about that. Just some of you say, hey, he's come right now. No. I think the machine is misbehaving. Now, a little bit later, the council admitted in verse 16, because they wanted to stop these guys, what are we going to do with these men? Because they were unstoppable. Remember, spirit-led, spirit-empowered, we become unstoppable. What are we going to do with them? Everyone in Jerusalem, in other words, everyone knows what they are doing, knows they have performed a notable sign. We cannot deny it. They were unstoppable. Because when we embrace the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and we obey God, we become unstoppable in the world. The world cannot ignore the church that embraces Pentecost fire of the Holy Spirit. They could not stop it. They could not contain it. They could not ignore. Now, when I talk about fire, I don't mean a feeling. I don't mean noise, being on an emotional high. Because it's very easy for us to associate the Holy Spirit with all these extremes. But when I talk about fire, what I mean is that we have an active personal presence of the Holy Spirit living in and through us as ordinary people. And he purifies us and empowers us to become his witnesses. That makes it impossible for people to think, to deny that God is at work in our lives. We see it in the disciples' lives. They went through suffering. They were flogged, but they were committed. They were passionate. Why? Because they embraced the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They had witness. They were witnesses to Jesus. They knew that Jesus was real. They knew that the gospel changes lives, like Paul says in Romans 1:16, when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord. Why? Because it is the power of God for salvation for everybody. Paul had experienced the power of the gospel. His life has been changed from a murderer into a follower of Jesus. And the only explanation is the gospel changes lives, and that conviction made him unstoppable. Has your life been changed by God and the gospel? Because if your life has been changed and you embrace the work of the Holy Spirit, you become an unstoppable witness of what God has done in your life. That's the kind of church the world cannot ignore. So what will keep this fire of the Holy Spirit burning in us? Let's read from Acts 2, a couple of verses and then three ideas, and then we shall pray together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated them and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So three things that make a Spirit-empowered church impossible to ignore. Number one, we must understand and know this fire that we're talking about. Understand the Holy Spirit from Scripture. We must understand that. You see, Pentecost is a Greek word that means 50th. It is the 50th day after Passover. Passover is the day that Jesus laid down his life when he died on that cross. 50 days after Passover, it is Pentecost. 50 days. Now, it was an old covenant feast. God commanded his children to always come to Jerusalem to celebrate him three times a year. And one of those feasts was Pentecost. And it was associated with two things. Number one, it was called the Feast of Weeks. It was a celebration of God who had given the Jewish people a bountiful harvest of wheat. And so the Jews who were in the diaspora spread around the world would come to Jerusalem around Pentecost this time to celebrate the goodness of God in giving them a bountiful harvest of wheat, first fruits. They would come to celebrate that. But also, Pentecost that day is associated with the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, because the first Passover took place in Egypt. The day they were delivered from Egypt, when they killed a lamb, put blood on the doorposts, and they left. That was the first Passover. And exactly 50 days after that day, God gave them the law on Mount Sinai. And so when they came to Jerusalem to celebrate, one, they were saying, God, thank you so much for the harvest. You've been faithful. Number two, thank you so much for saving us and giving us your word. And so they would come to celebrate that during Pentecost. And the Bible says they were, at that moment, there would be many people in the city of Jerusalem. But God chooses that day in order to do something extraordinary. But before we get there, I just want you to watch a couple of things here that are intriguing, that I think they're worth our attention. To understand that Pentecost is not a phenomenon that began in Acts chapter 2. It is something that God began planning for in the Old Testament. Now, when God was giving the law on Mount Sinai, what took place? There was fire on the mountain, a mighty wind, and an overwhelming presence of God that day. On Pentecost, fire was in the room that appeared on every person who was in the room. There was a sound of a violent wind and an overwhelming presence of the Spirit of God on that day. So God is saying something. But what is more staggering is this. At Pentecost, when God gave the law, Moses comes down with the tablets, the law on the tablets. He comes down the mountain, finds the people bowing down to the golden calf. God was angry at them, and 3,000 people died that day. Now let's move to Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. That very day, when the Spirit is poured out upon the church, what takes place? 3,000 people get saved. Interesting. At Sinai, God wrote the law on stone tablets. At Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, he gives the Holy Spirit to write his law on the hearts of men. fulfilling prophecy in the Old Testament. Ezekiel said this. This is God speaking through Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to obey my decrees. So we see God is fulfilling his plan on Pentecost from death to life. You see, Pentecost marked the beginning of a new covenant community empowered from within, not instructed from outside. God chose this day deliberately. Why? Number one, because on Pentecost, there would be Jews from all the nations of the world. Read Acts chapter 2, there are 15 nations represented. They would hear the gospel. As the Spirit filled the disciples began to speak in other tongues. These were known languages. And they were languages of the people who were listening to them that morning. And they heard the gospel in their own language. And as Peter preached, the Bible says they were cut to their hearts. And they said, brothers, what shall we do? They got saved, they were spirit-filled, and then they took the gospel message back to their nations. You see what God is doing? God is spreading the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. Come on, give praise to God. That's amazing. So the outpouring of the Spirit was a public declaration that the gospel or God's plan was not confined just to one nation. God's plan is for the nations, including Uganda, including wherever you are watching this video from. So this day was not an accident. It was a culmination of God's plan to spread the gospel to the whole world. You see, being a spirit-filled, a spirit-empowered church is synonymous with preaching the gospel that Jesus loves sinners and he came to save sinners. It's never about having a good feeling at church and then you go and do nothing. Being a spirit-empowered church is about carrying the presence of God every day of your life. And God using you, using your story, using the gifts that he gives to you to tell the world there is a God in heaven who loves you and he wants you to be reconciled with him. So Pentecost is not just a room experience, it's a life experience. So a spirit-empowered church that the world cannot ignore knows this fire, where it came from. And when you know where this fire came from, you cannot be shaken out of that fire. You are unstoppable. Secondly, what do we see? That as opposed to the old covenant, where the Holy Spirit was given to a few, the prophets, the priests, and the kings sometimes for a short time, in the new covenant, the Spirit is for all believers. That is good news. That means when you are in your small group and somebody is sick, you don't call Pastor Eddie. You lay hands upon the sick because the same spirit in me is the same spirit in you. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? Verse 17, Acts 2. This is Peter preaching on Pentecost and he is quoting from an Old Testament prophet again, Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out. Now that word pour out doesn't mean rationing. You know, sometimes when you're giving people a little bit of some juice, you ration, eh? This is an overflow, pour. It's like torrential rain in Africa that brings floods to Kampala. That kind. In the last days, I'll pour my spirit on all people. Everybody say, all people. All. Not some. Not guys with shiny shoes on the stage and white suits. And interesting haircuts. In the last days, I'll pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will do what? Prophesy. They will speak God's word. Your young men will see visions. In other words, it's not about age, it's about belief. You will see visions. God is going to give you a vision bigger than your circumstance to live for and die for. Old men will dream dreams. It is very clear that when you're growing older, sometimes you begin to think, you know, I've lived my life. God cannot use me. God is saying, as long as you are alive, God wants to give you a dream to live for that is bigger than you. Don't give up on yourself because God has not given up on you. Even my servants, even those who have no credentials, uneducated, you are included. I'll pour my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. In other words, they will declare the word of God. You see, the world can ignore a church where fire is conformed to the platform. You see, the world has seen impressive speakers before, great performances, charisma. That one has been seen. But what the world can only ignore is what we see in the book of Acts, a community of ordinary people carrying an extraordinary presence. Fishermen who are speaking with authority, servants who prophesy, young people who see with clarity that has no natural source, old men whose wisdom carries a weight that cannot be manufactured, sons and daughters, all of them filled together with the Holy Spirit. This promise is for all who believe. That is good news. In other words, if we, as we are going to do it, at the end of this service, we are going to scatter. But if we scatter in the power of the Holy Spirit, God is right there with you and he wants to do an amazing work in that place. Think about the impact we can have if we all embraced the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Incredible. We become unstoppable. So the Spirit is for all of us, everyone. For the promise is for you, verse 39, and your children, for all people who are far off. Peter was speaking about us. We were far off. Everyone from whom the Lord our God calls for himself. Watch out, family. God wants to use you. So why aren't we seeing a great work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we see in the book of Acts? I think there are many reasons. One, we think it's just a few chosen people. Pastor, you tell us, what is God saying? There is a man of God somewhere. You have to go to a fellowship to hear what God is saying. God is saying, no, as long as you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. God wants to speak to you wherever you are. God wants to speak to you wherever you are. God wants to use you wherever you are. That is New Testament theology. That's what the Bible teaches. I think that's one of the reasons we don't see a great work of God. We think it is a few people who God speaks to. That is Old Testament. New Testament, all people are filled with the Spirit and they can hear from the Lord. Secondly, I think fear. We are afraid. Oh, what will people think? We are preoccupied by the thoughts of people around us instead of being filled with the testimony of what God has done on the inside of us. We are afraid of the costs of following Jesus and going public with your faith. The truth of the matter is this: Jesus promises that if you follow him, yes, blessings are there, but also there's going to be suffering. Read the book of Acts. These apostles in Acts chapter 4 were flogged and they left saying, "Thank you, God. We have suffered for your name." They were not feeling good, but they were so convinced of who God is, what he'd done in their lives, they could not stop but testify upon the goodness of the Lord because they knew that Jesus is the only hope of the world. They could not keep that news to themselves. Fear. No wonder Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's telling his young apprentice, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. The disciples, a couple of days before Pentecost, they were hiding behind closed doors. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. But then we see on Pentecost, they stand before the same people who could kill them, but they spoke God's word. And can I say this? They even died for the Lord. But what made the difference? They had been with Jesus. They practiced being with Jesus every day. They embraced the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives each and every day. They did not isolate. Spirit-filled life is for Sunday, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, that is my life. No, they understood that being a Christian is an everyday calling wherever you are. They could not stop because they knew that the only thing that changes people's lives is the gospel and nothing else. They were unstoppable. That's what God is calling us to. So, on Monday, when somebody brings a problem, don't just say, I'm going to pray for you. Pray for them immediately. At your workplace, lay hands. Believe God. You have no idea what God is doing at that moment, but God is at work. Don't put off what you do today to tomorrow. Speak about who you are. Don't be ashamed of the testimony that God has given to you. God has done something in you. God has changed your life. That's why Paul was very confident. Not because ministry was easy. Why? Because God changed his life. I was blind, but now I see. And it was evident to everybody else around them. Something shifted. Show unusual love and integrity in difficult situations. Use your gifts to serve others. You see, the Spirit is not given just for church meetings. It's given for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in your family, meetings, everywhere. God wants to fill you and use you. Let's not relegate the Pentecostal thing to an experience in the upper room, and then when we are in the streets, the spirit of the world takes over. We have relegated Pentecostal experience to just speaking in other tongues. Yet that is just part of it, not everything. Until the world gets to know that there's a God who is alive through your testimony, you are not Pentecostal yet. So how do we keep the fire burning? The Sanhedrin gives us the key. It's here. Keep the fire burning. They said, these men had been with Jesus. And that is the key. They could not explain the courage these men had. It was extraordinary. And they said, you know what? The only conclusion is, there you are with Jesus. You see, we don't have to tell people, hey, write it on your shirt, I am with Jesus. When you are with Jesus, the world will know, because being with Jesus transforms you. Being with Jesus transforms you. It changes you, and the world notices. They had been with Jesus. Let me give you just some practical things you can do to practice being with Jesus, which I believe is going to empower you to be a spirit-filled, a spirit-empowered, a spirit-led believer who carries this Pentecostal fire every day of the week. Number one, practices. These are habits, meaning you have to do them over and over again in this world. Number one, practice daily prayer and scripture reading. Not rocket science, but very difficult for many. Practice reading scripture and prayer, where it's just not ticking the box, it's communion. You are with real Jesus who changed your life. You see, spending time with Jesus keeps our hearts tender and sensitive to the Spirit of God. You see, when you go to the prayer room, God must speak to you. God speaks. Either it's a conviction, you've been living in sin for repentance, or go and change things around, or tell you something about somebody to do. God speaks all the time. It keeps your heart sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So you have to practice daily prayer and scripture reading. That's what being Jesus entails. Secondly, obedience to the Holy Spirit. When you get a prompt, obey quickly. Everybody say, obey quickly. Do it quickly. That's the only way. Don't be slow to act. Quickly responding to the prompts is going to make you even more sensitive to what God is telling you. If God tells you, be generous to your neighbor, do it. So, what am I going to do? But school fees is not there. If he tells you, if he reminds you, forgive this individual's hurt you. Don't say, but what they did was so difficult. Just forgive. Trust him. If he brings a name to your mind, pray for them. The other practice is worship and thanksgiving. Very important. Keeping affection for Jesus alive. It helps you. Thanksgiving. Gratitude is a key. Remember, we're practicing with being with Jesus. Staying in the Christian community, doing life together. Did you know that is very powerful? Christianity by practice is about meeting. You'll never grow alone. You'll never impact the world alone. Jesus had to get a group of people to show us we need each other. In the Christian community, what happens? We stay connected to one another for strength, but also challenge. That's why cells are not a program that we do here at Watoto Church. It is life. Doing life together. No matter how young or old you are, we gotta be together. We need each other. We are good for each other's growth. And the Holy Spirit works through people. So, practice being with other believers in fellowship. Around scripture, around prayer, around caring for one another, and caring for the community. And then, this is the other practice we must be doing. You have to be a witness. Share the gospel. But Pastor, I've never done it before. The only way you do it is by starting. How do you overcome the fear of water? You get in the water. You can pray, God, take away the fear of water, but you have to get wet. And this is what I know. The moment you share the gospel with the first person, it's kind of like breaks a big barrier of fear in your life. And then the moment the first person gets saved, it's the most joyful experience I can get. When someone says, "Are you Sarah?" It's like, OMG. They got saved. Like, let's do it again. The more you do it, the more you want to do it. The less you do it, the more you don't want to do it. So let's obey God. This Monday, today, tomorrow, who is that individual? Just, hey, I just want to pray with you. Jesus loves you. God is going to give you the right words to use because people are not the same. Witness. Practice doing that. And then lastly, repentance and humility. Repentance. Sin, unconfessed sin is a barrier to experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Be quick to repent and stay humble. Stay teachable. Keep short accounts with God. Because when you do that, this is going to prevent drifting from Jesus. Being with Jesus. So Pentecost fire is about we knowing where this fire came from. You know what? Biblically grounded. It was God's plan from the beginning. This power, this fire, this Holy Spirit is for all of us, no matter where we come from, no matter your background. You qualify as long as you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So don't disqualify yourself. And we keep this fire burning by practicing the presence of God in those practices I just gave you. And when we do that, the world will know that there is a Jesus in our lives. So I want us to pray and receive the Holy Spirit today. God, your word reminds us that in the last days you'll pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, all believers in this room today, online, on air, wherever we are, God, we believe you are there. And we wait on you. We believe that Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We believe you are the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So today, Jesus, we ask you, fill us, baptize us, empower us, fill us to overflow, God, in the name of Jesus. Right now, would you do a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit to everybody who's thirsty in this place. Empower us to become witnesses of who you are. You are the God who saves. You're the God who delivers. You're the God who heals. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus, may that be our witness, God, as you empower us with your Spirit. Give us the gifts of the Spirit, I pray. Give us the language, the heavenly languages, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that we shall lay hands upon the sick. They will be healed. Give us dreams. Give us visions, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Jesus, redeem our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. May the Holy Spirit shape every day. So I ask you to fill us in this place. Fill us in the boardrooms, God, I pray. Fill us in our relationships, in our families, oh God, I pray. Fill us when we're in the marketplace, I pray. Will you fill us with boldness and courage to stand out for you? Because Jesus, you stood out for us on that cross when you died a death that we deserved, oh God. Give us conviction to know that Jesus, you are alive and you're living in us, oh God. In the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray, may we be a Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered church. And all this is for none but your glory. In Jesus' name I do pray, and everybody say it, a big amen and amen. 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 I want to encourage you today that, again, as I said, the Pentecost experience is not just for the prayer room here. It is for every day, wherever you are. Tonight, as you pray, wait on the Lord and ask Him to fill you afresh. Tomorrow, as you wake up, before you go to work, wait on the Lord. Ask Him to fill you. Your lunch break, ask Him to fill you every day. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we need to be filled every day. And as we practice being with Jesus, God is going to empower us. God is going to use us. God is going to make us a people that are unstoppable. Not because we cannot be stopped, because the power of God on the inside of us cannot be stopped by a church that is obedient to Him. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a big praise this morning.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.